Hello and welcome to Need to Know, your weekly investment podcast brought to you by the experts at Coutts. I'm Sarah Muir and I'm joined for this special bonus episode of Need to Know by Coutts US equity expert Howard Sparks. We've managed to carve out a little bit of time in his holiday schedule for him to come in and talk to us. Now, each week on the podcast, we look at the three things investors need to know for the week ahead. So, Howard, what do we need to know about US earnings season?
Well, thanks, Sarah. Great to be on the podcast again. You know, I'm a big fan. And it's an honour to be invited back. Just on the three things I guess need to know. I mean, we'll kick off with some headline data points for you about US earnings, and then we'll maybe talk about great expectations going into the results and how some of these were dashed, and perhaps a little bit of mean reversion. Finally, let's talk about AI and the outlook.
Yeah, absolutely. Those were the buzzwords, I should say, from Q1 earnings season. So I'm interested to see if that's still the case in Q2. I suspect it might be. Okay, let's kick off then with some stats, a little bit of data from US earnings season. What are the key numbers that we need to have in mind?
Yeah, so US earnings are going through their recession, I guess, at the moment. So we're going through a period of negative earnings growth compared to where we were last year. Yeah. So this quarter, we're down 9% year on year. That's when you add all the S&P 500 constituents earnings all together. On average, it's a 9% decline year on year. That sounds bad, but actually, I think, you know, results generally have been pretty good. So we would say it's probably less bad than feared.
Right.
If you look at the long-term average of companies beating stated analyst estimates, that's normally around about 70%. So far, with around about half of companies reporting, we've seen 81% of companies reporting better than expected results. So a slightly better than expected earnings season, but we'll get into the details.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that before we get onto that, and I guess this is going to be part of your next sort of need to know is, you know, beating expectations, because it's when you see them reported, it's all about it's a beat or it's a miss. How, again, going into Q2, I should say, rather as we did when we went into Q1, were expectations fairly low going into Q2?
Well, it's interesting what happened to expectations. So for much of the year, we've seen earnings estimates being revised down by analysts for US companies. Over the last couple of months, we kind of seen a flattening out of that downward trajectory. So, the negativity was starting to dissipate towards US equities just in the last couple of months.
Okay, well, we'll come to whether we've perhaps got to the trough of that, perhaps in your last point. But let's look then at you, as you say, great expectations, nothing to do with Charles Dickens. But, I mean, especially going into earnings season, there was a lot of focus on the so-called Magnificent Seven. I guess, should we talk about those first? I mean, and how they performed and how what their reports were like?
Yeah, so Magnificent Seven, great film, but also the seven well-known mega cap tech firms in the US that have been leading the rally. So we've had five of them report so far. So interestingly, Microsoft, Tesla, four of them report so far. One of them, Netflix, is not strictly in the Magnificent Seven, but for all intents and purposes, it shares many of the same traits. So we'll include it for this conversation. But but what we saw, Microsoft, Tesla, and Netflix, was we saw very sharp downward price reactions to those numbers. Now, you know, these numbers, on the face of it, sales were better than expectations, earnings were better than expectations. So on the face of it, these were very strong numbers. I think what we just need to appreciate was that for all of these companies, we saw just very strong performance going into the print. So we saw, certainly over the last few weeks, we've seen strong performances. And even with those negative price reactions on the numbers, They've really only they're only going back to where they were a few weeks ago. So that kind of just puts things into context, rather than, you know, if you rather than just looking at, you know, the day's reaction in isolation. Mm.
So was that then because expectations were just so high? I mean, possibly they were perhaps unrealistically high, that even though those companies did actually post, as you say, strong results, that they were never going to be strong enough to satisfy all that kind of expectation that was already baked into the price of those companies.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a degree of kind of FOMO, fear of missing out in the run up to the results that, you know, particularly remember last quarter with NVIDIA, you know, we saw a 25% move on numbers. So, you know, I guess maybe some perhaps retail investors or others, more speculative investors, perhaps, you know, didn't want to miss out on those kind of moves you know, as the bigger companies started to report.
Yeah. Okay. So that was sort of companies that went in with great expectations and possibly, well, they didn't disappoint, but markets perhaps reacted negatively. What about then the sort of flip side of that? Because we've talked about this being a sort of a mean reversion season. Perhaps explain what you mean by that and explain how that was sort of exemplified by some of the other results that we saw.
Yeah, that's right. So mean reversion, I got this from a research note from Mike Gibbs at Raymond James, so I can't take any credit for it. But I think it seems to explain things, or explain a lot of what we've seen in terms of price reaction to earnings quite well. So on the flip side, two sectors that don't want to go into details of companies, but two sectors in the US that had been underperforming in Q2 were financials and healthcare. And even though in a number of cases results really weren't great in a couple of those areas, I think what we saw was just enough to reassure investors. And so coming out of earnings season or following earnings of those companies, we have seen you know, a much more positive price reaction. So, you know, we've seen, you know, much as, you know, we've seen a lot of those winners giving up some of those gains on earnings, you know, we've also seen that on the flip side. So some of the losers kind of clawing back some of those
yeah. I'm guessing that's because they weren't as bad perhaps as markets had expected.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and I think we can look back at last quarter, and, you know, particularly in financials, obviously with the Silicon Valley crisis, you know, there's
which we've almost completely forgotten about, haven't we? Let's face it.
Right.
I mean, and that was back in March, and it's,
I think, a degree of nervousness that there might be something lurking around that could cause consternation. And to be honest, I think it was, you know, even though, as I say, in a lot of cases, the results weren't great, you know, there wasn't anything to suggest that we're going to see kind of contagion in the US financial sector.
Just before we move on to the sort of final point, that returning to that theme of mean reversion, I mean, obviously there's been a bit of concern, and Alan and I have covered it on various episodes of Need to Know, of this kind of lack of breadth in the S&P 500. With this mean reversion that we've seen through earnings season, does that suggest a little bit more of a broadening out of the market in America now?
Yeah, I think we've started to see a little bit of that, of the breadth kind of coming back. In the US market, I think, you know, I think as we've, I think as Alan has spoken about before, you know, there've been examples of both. There've been examples, you know, most famously in the dot-com bubble, where back in, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, where you saw the leaders of the market kind of come crashing back down. But the most common scenario, when you look at similar episodes of very, very narrow performance, i.e., you know, when the market's been led by a very small number of stocks, you actually tend to see, it's more often you see that the rest of the market kind of catching up. So, you know, that's beginning to happen. But obviously it's, you know, we're not there yet.
Yeah. Okay. Which then brings us to the final point, which is a little bit of an outlook, and I guess thoughts also on, because AI was the buzzwords for Q1. Was that the same in Q2? And do we expect to see that sort of going forward? How much was that driving a lot of the sort of interest in the reporting in Q2?
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of companies trying desperately to jump on the AI bandwagon, talking about, I could kind of go into details, but let's leave that. Obviously, companies want to do what they can to boost their share price. So if that means talking about AI, then in completely unrealistic areas, I mean, for example, the FT noted that the Kroger CEO, so Kroger's a US supermarket, I think mentioned AI numerous times on the Q1 conference call, which they ridiculed him for. But, you know, certainly in terms of those companies that are affected by AI, so taking Alphabet, for example, as the owner of Google, someone did the count up and there were 65 mentions of AI last quarter on the earnings call transcript. I looked through the latest transcript and I kind of got to 100 and then stopped counting. So, you know, I think that they are still talking about AI. They're still obsessed with AI, these larger companies. And so that's that trend certainly shows no sign of slowing down.
Yeah. And do we then see, just to sort of conclude then, we talked about that we've seen an earnings decline of the last couple of quarters. What's the, looking ahead now, do we see that, have we maybe reached the bottom now of that? Can we start sort of looking towards a point where we actually start to see positive earnings growth again?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot can change over the next 6 months, but certainly as far as earnings stand at the moment, the implied earnings growth for US companies should see still be negative territory in Q3, but by less than we've seen this quarter. And then the expectations are for Q4, it will return to some sort of earnings growth. So that's as far as where estimates stand in the moment. So looks like we are on the cusp of coming out of this US earnings recession.
Yeah, but as you say, you know, heavily caveated with,
You
know, lots can happen. I mean, as we saw in Q1 with the banking crisis, an awful lot can happen. And that can obviously have a big impact on what's happening in markets and companies' earnings. Well, thank you very much, Howard, for joining me today. Just to sort of summarise then, obviously, this is our earnings season special. So far, we've had roughly half of US companies reporting their Q2 earnings. We've seen a 9% decline on year-on-year earnings, but that's not quite as bad as perhaps we initially expected. And as Howard said, we may well be reaching the bottom of that now. The market expectations are that by Q4 of this year, we might actually start to see earnings growth again, although that's, to say, very heavily caveated with, you know, nothing unusual, unexpected happens in the next sort of couple of quarters. What was perhaps interesting and the sort of the overriding theme so far, when we've had about half the companies report, is this concept of mean reversion, by which we mean that companies that went into earnings season with very, very high expectations, very strong performance. In particular, we're talking about those so-called magnificent seven companies. When they actually reported, you know, strong earnings, there was nothing particularly negative in those reports, but perhaps expectations were so high or so much of that positivity was already baked into the price that actually we saw quite a sort of sharp sort of reaction to those positive earnings, quite a sharp negative reaction to those positive earnings on the day. But as Howard said, you need to probably take a little bit of a step back there and not look at what happens on the day a company reports. And then on the flip side of that, we saw a number of companies, particularly perhaps financials and healthcare, that going into reporting season had been a little bit lackluster, if we're honest, and presented not particularly outstanding earnings reports, but actually did quite well from a sort of a market reaction point of view. So we're seeing sort of those companies that were very strong going into earnings season, perhaps giving back some of those gains, and some of those companies that were a little bit weaker going into earnings season, perhaps, you know, recouping some of those losses. So very interesting. And then obviously looking forward, Expectations are we'll probably still see a continued decline in earnings in Q3, but we might just be light at the end of the tunnel for Q4. But obviously, we'll get Howard back for Q3 and Q4 to bring us up to date with that. Thank you very much, Howard. A reminder that the views expressed in this podcast are not intended to constitute investment advice, are accurate at the time of recording, and are subject to change. Don't forget to check out the podcast page on Coutts.com. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, Spotify, or whichever is your preferred podcast platform. Alan's still on holiday, so our next regular episode of Need to Know, I'll be joined again by Monique Wong. Lots of things to talk about, including, I'm sure, what the central banks have been up to. We did say in last week's episode that it was going to be a bumper week for central banks, so lots to talk about there, but I'm sure there'll be some other things as well. But anyway, until then, bye for now.